Hi, my name is Kate Gregory. I'm doing a series of screencasts on building awesome Windows 7 applications. In this one, I'm discussing restart and recovery. It's a capability in Windows 7 that enables your users to never lose any work, even if your application blows up while they have unsaved changes or their machine reboots. Because it lets you stop auto-saving, it can also save CPU cycles and battery life. This particular screencast covers using restart and recovery in managed code, C# and VB, and it's really simple. If you want to get in touch with me about this, you're welcome to email me, you can read my blog, or you can follow me on Twitter. If you send me an email, please put restart and recovery in the subject line so that I know it's because of this screencast. Windows 7 has a lot of behind-the-scenes features and functionality that you don't notice immediately. So if you're over at a relative's house with your laptop, and they say, hey, are you using that Windows 7 that's been out for a year now? And you say, yeah, I am, want to see? And you show them how Windows 7 works, chances are you're not going to show them restart and recovery. You're going to show them the taskbar and some other kind of visual things. But you know there's a lot of interesting stuff going on behind the scenes. And really one of the kind of mottos is to stop polling, stop auto-saving, stop doing things every X amount of time, and instead react to things that happen. Windows 7 makes it possible for you to react to things that happen. So you can know that someone's gone on battery or know that they've changed their power management scheme, know that they've come on or off the network. You can write services that are triggered by particular events like that. And restart and recovery is about realizing that your application is about to die. Perhaps it's blown up. Perhaps it's gone into an infinite loop and become non-responsive. Or perhaps the machine is rebooting. Maybe we're having that awful scenario of you walk away from your machine for a while and it updates itself and reboots itself without you being there to interact with it. In all these circumstances, it's actually possible to save the user's work and get it back later. It's a very considerate and thoughtful thing for an operating system to do. The first time it happens to you, you feel absolutely overwhelmed, all warm and fuzzy. You're like, yes, yes, I would like my data back. Some apps ask if you want your data back. It's a lovely thing not to lose your work when your computer lets you down. And that's what Restart and Recovery lets you offer your users. And it's part of working the way people are beginning to expect Windows 7 applications to work. Now, in this screencast, I'm going to be relying on a recipe, a Windows 7 recipe, which is a set of samples that are going to be on Code Gallery, code.msdn.microsoft.com. Many of them, including this one, rely on the Windows API Code Pack, which is also on Code Gallery. So the easiest way to find these recipes is to go to the Code Pack page. And once the recipes have been released, there will be links there pointing to the individual recipes. I mentioned that restart and recovery prevents the user from losing data. And here's how it works. When your application is dying, regardless of the reason, it's thrown an unhandled exception, somebody's ntasked it, the machine is rebooting. In all those circumstances, it's the operating system who terminates your application. And with restart and recovery, you arrange in advance. If you have to terminate my application, Windows, make sure that you give me a chance to store any unsaved data someplace safe. And Windows says, I can do that. I can give you, I'll call your code. You tell me what code to call and I'll call it when I'm terminating you. And it calls it on a different thread because the main thread is probably all messed up. What's more, you can say to Windows, if you have to kill me, for whatever reason, will you start me again afterwards immediately without the user having to take any action to restart me? And Windows says, I can indeed. And what's more, I'll give you a command line argument that lets you know you're being restarted under those circumstances. And as the developer, you get to choose what that command line argument is. So it's a hint to yourself, to your future self on a restart, and you can parse apart that hint and figure out where the data is that you scribbled down while the application was terminating and get it back. It's great. And I've shown people how to do this. But the problem that you run into when you go to do this is it can call any function you like when you're terminating. It can pass any hint you like when you're restarting. And so people are like, well, what should the hint be? And where should I put the data? Can I write it to a file? Can I write it to the database? Should I send someone an email? By the way, writing to databases, sending to emails, things like that, generally a bad plan. The machine might be in the middle of a reboot, or the machine might be in big trouble throwing unexpected and unhandled exceptions. You want to do the simplest possible thing, but The restart and recovery mechanism doesn't restrict you to the simplest possible thing. The world's at your feet and you can do what you like. I'm telling you as a best practice, you should write something down on the hard drive. Okay, text, binary, XML, what am I going to do for my file format? There's a lot of freedom given to the developer, but freedom means difficult choices. And so what the recipe does is it says, look, let's take some great choices, we'll put them in the recipe, and rather than copying that code around from project to project, you can just reuse it every time you have a need for restart and recovery in a very simple and consistent way. So let me show you this in action, and that's going to help it all make a little more sense. I have this project open in Visual Studio, but I'm going to run it first. Now, whenever you're testing restart and recovery, it's really important that you not hit F5 in Visual Studio. If it blows up while it's under the debugger, it won't restart. It won't do the restart and recovery things. Instead, Visual Studio will be all like, oh, your app threw an unhandled exception. Here it is. This is where it happened. And that's not what you want. You want to let it blow up and see those things happen. Now, restart and recovery is a great substitute for auto-saving. I don't like auto-saving for a lot of reasons. One is Murphy's Law. If we resave every 30 minutes, why do I manage to somehow lose 29 minutes of work when things blow up? The second is performance. Why am I saving this application every 30 minutes? Say I have a huge 400-page Word document open, and I've accidentally made a small edit somewhere. Perhaps I press space or comma or something. I don't really think of myself as editing the document, but I have. Now the whole time I have it open, Word's going to save it every half hour until I either save it or close it. That's using up CPU cycles, it's spinning the hard drive, it's pulling my battery down for really nothing. And if I spread it out so that it's longer, so it's only every 2 hours, well then of course now I'm going to lose almost 2 hours worth of work when it blows up, because again, Murphy's Law. With restart and recovery, you don't save until you need to, and you only save exactly and precisely when you need to. So it's just a more targeted solution to the problem of losing unsaved work and lets you rip out autosave code. Now what we have in this application is one text box that you can type in, hello screencast, and a checkbox which you could check or not as you see fit. And behind the scenes we have a document class that we can save this information in. We have a whole file menu with file, save, open, and so forth and so on. But what I'm going to do now is have this application go boom. Now normally it's quite difficult to find the code in your application that makes it blow up. In this particular case, there's a sort of a subtle hint in the name of this button. And in fact, if you come into the handler for this button, it calls fail fast, which is the boomiest of all booms that you can go. And this is better than dividing by zero or some of the other things you might want to do, because it puts something in the event log. It just lets you have a little more traceability about what you did and when. So I'm going to click that button, and boom, test harnesses stop working. You've probably seen these dialogues go by, and maybe you're in the habit of clicking cancel on them. Please let them happen, because you see now it's saving, restarting, and when we come back up, there is the information that I typed in the text box and the checkbox. All my information was recovered and I lost nothing. I didn't have to wait for a certain amount of time after I typed it for the autosave to work. The minute you click it, it happens. And this is the benefit of restart and recovery. Let me show you how the recipe makes it really simple to have restart and recovery in your application. You can see in my references that I have a reference to this restart and recovery, which is the recipe. And here I'm using a class from that namespace called Restart Recovery Helper. Now the cool thing about Restart Recovery Helper is that it's a generic class. It takes as a sort of argument what your document is that you keep your information in. We have this document class called Sample Document. And if I go there, you can see that I have the text from the text box, the check from the check box, and what file name I opened or most recently saved to, because this is a file-oriented application where I could actually have a file name. And that's all. I haven't added any special properties or methods. I don't have to have a load or a save in this document, but I do have this attribute on it, which is that it is a serializable class. And in order to qualify for being a serializable class, you just need to be made of these kind of fundamental pieces like strings and bools and those kinds of objects. If I have other things inside the class, I might need to go to some trouble to become serializable. But most of your document classes will just be serializable, and all you have to do is stick the attribute on them, and there's no further work at all. So when this application launches, we have this member variable RRH, which is the restart recovery helper, and the constructor news up a restart and recovery helper to put into this RRH. And we just using the default constructor, there's no arguments to pass, and that helper will now perform two basic pieces of work for us. The first is, we might be being restarted from a previous fail. We need to check for that before anything else. And so there's a function called check for restart. And check for restart returns a sample document. If we're not being restarted, that will be a null reference. If we are being restarted, it will actually refer to a document that's been recovered and that has all our data in it. So if we got anything back when we called check for restart, we just parse it apart by pulling the properties out of it, the lines of text, the checkbox, and so on, put those in our form, and that's how we got the data back when we were restarted. Then whether we're restarted or not, the other thing you can do with RRH is call its register for restart and recovery, which sets us up. So every single time we run, we register and say, if I blow up, I would like to be recovered. And we have quite a few properties being passed down, and I'll just walk through them with you. The name of the application is used to create the folder in which the saved document is kept, just to eliminate collisions with other applications you might be running. This string lets you tell different instances apart. If I had two copies of this application running at once and they both got into trouble, or you know, we rebooted the machine, which would obviously put them both in trouble, and they both had unsaved data, I wouldn't want their names to collide, so you can give your instances names. Now, I'll show you the details of the recipe later, and it does actually stick a timestamp on here, so you wouldn't have a collision unless the instances both started at exactly the same time. The timestamp is the time of starting. But it's still not a bad idea to use different instance names if you're going to have multiple instances. I'm hard-coding them, which is not good, but this is only a demo, right? Then we have the actual document that is going to be saved when we blow up. And this is a reference to the document, so obviously the contents can change as the application is used, and it'll get the right contents when it goes to save it. This number is how frequently you commit to checking back with the OS, and the recipe takes care of that for you, so you can use whatever number you like, and I'm fine with the number we have here, 5000. Then we have the type, binary, or XML. This is leveraging serialization, and those are the two obvious, easy to get to serializers, so I'm going to do a binary serialization. And then finally we have what are called restart restrictions, and this is, you may not want your application to restart under certain circumstances. So I'm choosing restart restrictions none, meaning no matter what. We hung, we crashed, we blew up, machine's being rebooted, I don't care, no matter what, restart me. You may want to take some restrictions on board, and that's how you would do it. And then that's it. That's all you have to do in your own code to use the recipe. You call check for restart, and you call register for restart and recovery. Just to show you the rest of the form, to show this kind of nothing up my sleeve, we've got handler when the text box changes that updates the document. When the checkbox changes, it updates the document. That's the crash button that I showed you earlier. This is the hang button. That's certainly a very tight loop. We're going to be in that loop for a real long time. And I'll just demonstrate that it does work for hangs too, and that you don't need to have any time elapse in order to let the autosave kick in or anything like that. Just immediately click the hang button the minute I had a problem. You notice at this point Windows has noticed that the application is in an infinite loop and it's not responding, and if I want to, I can end task it. What do you want to do? I can close it, I could wait for it to come back, I'm going to wait a really long time in that loop, or I can let it restart. I'm going to choose to let it restart. Exactly the same mechanism will now happen. It will save out my ephemeral data using the recipe, it'll recover it, restart, bring the data back, and there's the data that was in the screen when I click the hang button. So it works for both hangs and blow-ups, and also for reboots, which I'm not going to do while recording, obviously, the screencast. The rest of this code has got to do with the fact that there's a file and that we'll give people a chance to save and that kind of thing, and you don't really care about that or need to see that. Now, if you're curious about how the recipe works, I can show you that. I'll just bring up the source code for Restart Recovery Helper. Let me take a look here. And you can see the class. Here's the check for restart function. It makes sure that we're on the right version of Windows. Restart Recovery was introduced in Vista and parses out the hint. I know you haven't seen the hint being built yet, but just trust me on this. Pulls out the recovery path from that and then leverages your serialization. So if the file that was saved is an XML file, it will use an XML serializer. If the file that was saved is a binary file, it'll use a binary formatter. Simple as that. Your sample document is serializable, so this code is guaranteed to work. Now, the register for restart and recovery function that's being called from our form 1, there's a whole whack of different overloads of this function. And this is the main one, all the others just call it. You can see again it checks the Windows version, builds out the recovery path using environment special folder to get a hold of your application data path, which is where applications should store things. One of the reasons for the recipe was that people would write their own restart and recovery code that wrote to the current directory, which worked great while you were under development in some kind of working project folder of your own. Once installed under program files, it would try to write under program files, which would fail unless you were elevated, and it's a crummy reason to make your application elevated. The recipe encodes some best practices like writing to application data. And you can see here we're using that application name to build the folder for it. Create the folder if we need to, and then we take the instance name and a timestamp, and that builds us out the file name, stick the appropriate extension on the end, and there's our full path. Then we call into the code pack and actually call register for application restart. And we set up the recovery callback and call register for application recovery. The rest of this gets a little harder to read. It's kind of nice. It has a sweet little asynchronous piece of work that sets us up so that no matter how long it takes to serialize out your document, we'll be responsive to the OS and talk back as often as that ping interval so that you won't be shut down for going dark, especially during a reboot. You know when you get that list, the following applications are keeping the system from rebooting. If your application goes dark for too long during that process, Windows is going to say, you know what, thanks for playing, you're done, and close you down. So you want to be responsive. So we have this asynchronous delegate and we sit in this loop. And if you don't click that cancel button, we'll stay in this loop till we're done. If you click the cancel button, you'll come out of here early. And all that's happening inside here is we're invoking that asynchronous delegate to call serialize subject, and serialize subject just leverages serializing the same as the deserialization did. So really easy to use for you, because all you need to do is call the new to create the restart recovery helper, call check for restart, and then call register for restart and recovery. The recipe handles everything else. Builds the file name, figures out what folder to store it in. When you're restarting, figures out what folder to look in, parses the file name out of the hint, looks at the file name itself to figure out whether this is XML or binary, uses your own serialization because you put that serializable attribute on the class. You're done. It just works. Things get saved to the right place, they get recovered from the right place, they even get cleaned up afterwards after checking for restart and recovery here. The last thing that it does is actually cleans away the file that you loaded from. So everything's thought of for you in the recipe. You just check for restart, then you register for restart and recovery, and away to the races. Just putting the code here in the slides because it's an easy way to get it to you. You can see creating that restart recover helper instance, calling check for restart, which returns null if it's not restarting and gives you a document if it is restarting, which you should use, and then calling register for restart and recovery, and these are some typical parameters that you might pass into that call. You know, if your application has information of value to users, think about turning on restart and recovery. You know, it doesn't have to be a document, i.e., its documents are nothing more than the URLs that you had open. But I still feel great relief when IE says to me, would you like me to reopen all the tabs that you had? Outlook keeps track of what mail messages I had open, which is kind of a bit of a to-do list for me, so that when it comes back, it actually opens the same windows, the same messages are open. If I'm reading along in Twitter, maybe all I need to know is my place. Where was I in the timeline? Or it could be a standard kind of a document like the one that I showed you in this demo, which has some text and some other controls. The recipe makes it really simple for you to turn on restart and recovery without thinking about where should I save my data, what about UAC, what format should I use. Takes care of most of that for you. Then you can deal with, should I tell the user, hey, I've got a recovered document, do you want to use it? Or should I not? Should I just automatically bring it back no matter what they, don't give them a vote the way the demo does. If you have autosave in your app, I would encourage you to not have autosave in your app, or at least to autosave a lot less often, because it can chew through battery, especially if you're spinning a hard drive. And really get rid of that Murphy's Law where it saves every half hour but you lose 29 minutes worth of data. With restart and recovery, the save happens at the time of the crash, so they won't lose any data. It's just nicer for your users. Give it a whirl.